Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, July 17th, 2018. With me today, I have Brian Chaffin. How are you, Brian?
Oh, I am so good to be here. Thank you.
You are so good to be here.
Happy to be here. I'm happy to be here. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, it's so great to have you here. And from the MacCast, Adam Christensen, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great.
It's great to have you here as well. I need to do some self-promotion real quick before we jump into topics. July 28th, I am speaking at WordCamp Denver, and I'm talking about podcasting with WordPress. So if you're going to be around Denver, that's only 2 weeks away. Come by, get your ticket, and come hang out at WordCamp Denver. It's always a lot of fun. And I would love to get to see all of you. So that's on July 28th. That would be Saturday. And there's also some day-long sessions on the 29th. Those may all be full now, but you can still get tickets for the 28th. So come hang out. It'll be awesome. Want to see you. All right. So now I guess it's time to talk about the real news stuff. And one thing that we haven't taken a look at yet is news that came out last week, I believe. And it's that John Gianandrea. Does that sound even close to the right pronunciation?
Gianandrea or Gianandrea. Yeah, I can't figure it out. I've heard both pronunciations. So it's just a matter of it's spelt Gianandrea. So we can go with that.
Yeah. So we're going to go with John. So he is the former chief of artificial intelligence from Google.
And search.
And search, yes. And now he works for Apple, and he is in charge of Siri, which also includes Apple's artificial intelligence efforts. And this just seems kind of interesting. Doesn't this also include Apple's whole machine language thing?
Machine learning, AI. Basically what happened was he was hired for, I think, the machine learning AI side of things back in, was it May?
Thereabouts.
I believe he was brought on board. And the more recent change, the thing that happened last week, was he was put in charge and given the official title Chief of Machine Learning and AI Strategy. This was a change that showed up on Apple's leadership page, which also has that awesome Memoji thing now. Basically it brought the Siri team under his, so he is now in charge of both the machine learning AI team and the Siri team, where the Siri team was previously being overseen by Craig Federighi.
Right. And while you were talking, I looked it up. April, that's when John came over to Apple.
A little bit earlier than I thought.
Yeah, but not much earlier. So
yeah.
I think this is really interesting. It feels to me like
it's less interesting to me, Jeff, and more good.
Because, well, that's part of why it's interesting to me, because this is good.
Apple is getting its butt kicked in the at the very least on the perception side. So right. Doing something differently is much better than continuing to do the thing you're doing that was resulting in you getting your butt kicked.
Yeah. Right.
The important thing to understand, for people to really understand about this change, is there's actually no, and this may play into what you're talking about, Brian, and maybe some concerns there, but I think it actually is ultimately a good thing. The machine learning and the AI teams are still separate from the Siri team. So nothing happened structurally at the lower level. What happened was now he is overseeing both groups and in charge of both groups. And where that's good is there's obviously a lot of overlap between those two teams. So having one person who's sort of in charge and sort of understands and has a really strong background in these technologies, I think becomes very important, because they do have to integrate. And to date, both those teams have sort of been in these you know, separate silos. Yes, there's crossovers, and yes, there's times where the two interact, but there was no one kind of with the broader vision of where those interactions and things were happening, and probably controlling where they need to happen more.
Yes. And I like the idea of having one person that can focus on these projects. And, you know, because before you had Craig Federighi, who was handling this, but he's also handling operating systems and what else is he doing?
Hair.
Yeah. He does all, he's Apple's head of software engineering. So basically all of Apple's software,
And while
he's in charge of, so their
apps. AI is software, right? By definition,
right?
It is not software from the standpoint of, you know, making operating systems and stuff. It's great to have someone, an AI specialist, in charge of AI. I mean, this is
a
good thing.
To be clear, Federighi was only in charge of the Siri team.
He
was only overseeing the Siri team. It was Giandrea John who was in charge of the machine learning AI stuff, and so they're just bringing
charge of that before him?
That's a great question. I don't have that.
I don't have that either. And I was overseeing that. I mean, it was still probably.
It might have been weirdly in like Eddie Q's camp.
Memory's
not failing me.
That sounds very familiar. Maybe
because it was seen as a cloud initiative, and it still very much is a cloud initiative, right? All that stuff's running. And some of the articles that I was reading about this, TechCrunch really did a good piece on this, and they were talking about Apple's massive AI edge server infrastructure that they put together. And so he's kind of overseeing all that stuff too. So there's some infrastructure things in here. There's some cloud things in here that he's dealing with, obviously. And then, you know, now the Siri thing playing into it. And again, what was most interesting to me about him is just the depth and history of his knowledge. So, you know, like before Google and going all the way back, he was part of the spinoff company from Apple, General Magic, which is, I think people call it the most successful failed company in Silicon Valley history. Because basically the ideas for smartphones and personal communicators and PDAs and all that stuff came out. A lot of that technology and that thinking came out of the folks who were at General Magic. And we're talking about a lot of massively important former Apple engineers and designers and creators and creative thinkers, people like Andy Hertzfeld and Bill Atkinson, Susan Kare, Tony Fadell, Andy Rubin. I mean, Kevin Lynch, who is Apple's current VP of technology and oversees Apple Watch, he was part of that General Magic team. So,
Yeah, that's kind of an important group of people.
Right. And so he's worked with all these people and is working obviously with some of them again now. But then, you know, through Google, I mean, he was responsible for bringing AI and machine learning into the core or he's considered to be responsible for really the philosophy of bringing that into the core of all of Google's technologies. So, like, this guy knows his stuff, and that's kind of what's most exciting to me about it, is that he's going to be in charge of these teams, and he knows this technology, and he has a long history of it. And, you know, the idea is the goals of those two teams, even though they're still somewhat separate, are very similar. And having that under the supervision and under the leadership of a single person who knows what's going on and knows this stuff is can only be beneficial, going back to what you were saying, Brian.
Well, here's where the crux of his ownership of these projects will really lie, and that is in Apple's commitment to privacy,
right?
In Apple's commitment to keeping so much of what Siri is doing local, correct. Because that is a very, very different philosophy from from, you know, everything on the planet that Google does. And I'm assuming that he committed to that. As a matter of fact, for all we know, that's sure. Actually one of the things that made him want to work for Apple in the first place. Maybe I have zero evidence of this, but maybe he was concerned about.
I can give you the evidence of it, because again, he spoke at, is it Disrupt that TechCrunch does their tech conference. So he was one of the speakers. There is a video where he talks about a lot of this stuff. And he's very much in on the philosophy of the privacy side of things. So at least now, I don't, was he when he was at Google? I don't know, but it seems very much front of mind. And you always have to take that with a grain of salt, right? He's at Apple now, and this is Apple's mantra. And so is he just towing the company line, or does he truly believe it? But it seems from the surface, he's saying that he does.
I would imagine, I strongly imagine that Tim Cook and the executive leadership team at Apple would have wanted to be very sure that he was on their page and not just paying lip service to it.
I think that's a pretty safe bet, because it's clear that Apple isn't just posturing when the executives say, hey, we're serious about user privacy.
Yeah. It's holding him back in a lot of ways. So yeah, it's very clear. Here's one more very minor thing here. Okay. Note his title and his placement. By the way, did y'all see my Memoji piece? Did you see the caption on the second image?
Let me go back and look real quick.
I'll spoil for you. It was "and the rest." with apologies to those very successful and you know, remarkably talented people. But you know, there's that second, that
right?
Second.
Yeah, they're in the second section.
Yeah. So he is the chief of machine learning, which sounds sort of C-suite-ish.
Correct.
But he is in the, you know, he's in this lower tier of just vice presidents as opposed to senior vice presidents. And the other C-suite people. Group. Yeah, exactly. And the other. See, well, the single other C-suite person, which would be Chief COO Jeff Williams, Chief Operating Officer, is in the first group. So I'm not like trying to make mountains out of molehills or anything. It's just to me kind of interesting that here is this new person who is, you know, most of Apple's senior vice presidents have been with the company for a while. Angela Arendt would be an exception. Catherine Adams would be an exception. And here is Mr. Fellow. Him.
Yeah.
I'm just going to, like, from now, I'm going to, like, make a recording of you saying that. And then whenever I need to say his name, I'm just going to play that recording of you. But here he is, chief, down in the lower section. So it's just kind of, I'm wondering, you know, what are the internal politics on that sort of thing?
And I mean, if we want to go down this rat hole, I'm also curious, you know, Kevin Lynch is VP of technology and he's not on there at all. So I don't understand it, because there's other VPs in that list too.
Well, you're right. He is, I think.
And he's up on stage during keynotes. I mean,
I think that would be an issue of what you're in charge of. Uh-huh. Because if you look at the VPs that are on Apple's leadership page, all of them are still in charge of. They're the top report for their like category, like
correct. You know, vice president of communications. You're right, and I think that's where the difference becomes right.
And I don't
he's
think
in that's charge of these two teams. He's like the buck stoppers. You know, these are the buck stops here people.
Right, and he's reporting to Tim. I bet you that Mr. Lynch does not report to Tim.
Ah, okay. So we see where the food chain break is based on the Memoji page.
Probably. Yeah, although I remember something recently about Tim Cook having a lot of direct reports. Do you guys remember that about a month ago?
Mm-hmm. That wouldn't be surprising, because Apple's always operated that way, though.
Well, so how many do we have
right?
here? We have,
that, I mean, that's 11. A cultural philosophy change at Apple that you wouldn't want to change, right? I mean, that's back to the Steve era.
There's 17 people here, and I believe that was the number. It was either 17 or 27. 17, actually, is what's hitting my head there. So that's probably why Kevin Lynch isn't there, and it's probably not a slight on Mr. Lynch. Mr. Lynch is probably reporting to, I don't know, what, Craig? Craig probably. Or Eddie?
Yeah, probably most likely Craig.
Or even Jeff Williams. So there you have it.
Yeah, there you have it. All right. Well, I'm hoping this means that we're going to see some significant changes, like improvements in Siri and Apple's AI technology.
Yeah.
And I would like to say soon, but I know this stuff can't happen fast, especially if Apple is honoring our privacy.
Did you say you want to see some serious changes? Is that what you said?
Why did I ask you on the show?
Yahoo! Siri.
You see what you got there. All right. Well, I'm thinking there's no way we can top that. So I'm moving us to the other topic.
Or go below.
Tomato.
We can't swing underneath that anymore.
No, probably not. All right.
Just remember, no matter where you go.
There you are.
There you are.
By the way, I love that movie. Seriously. Buckaroo Banzai is an awesome movie. Oh, man. You know what? I'm putting a link to it in the iTunes store in today's show notes, because if you haven't seen Buckaroo Banzai, you need to see it. Peter Weller at his best. Okay.
I'm mixing my metaphors because I got confused with Yahoo Serious and Buckaroo Banzai.
Oh, well, no, I totally get why that would happen. I mean, it's, yeah. Anyhow, iPhone Glass. We have a leaked photo. This one comes from Ben Geskin,
I'm assuming. Yep, Benjamin Geskin.
Yep.
Famed Apple leaker.
Yes, and I mean, he really rose up the ranks of Apple leakers with the iPhone 8 and iPhone 10.
Right, he came up quick.
Yes, he did. And so he has a photo showing the front glass for the 2018 iPhone lineup, and it's three pieces of glass. And yep. So it's all narrow bezels. It's all the notch at the top. One is 5.8 inches, and that's supposed to be called the iPhone. And then 6.1 inches, iPhone 10. And then 6.5 inches, iPhone 10 Plus. And
hey, leakers like this seldom know what anything's.
Yes, because, I know,
because the pieces that come to them are not coming from Apple's marketing team. They're coming from, you know, out the back door somewhere of a distribution center or a plant or something like that.
Right. So,
and also that list, if what you just said is correct, that sounds counter to the other rumors that we've been hearing.
So I'll play straight because, man, for a second. What are those rumors, Adam?
Well, so it was supposed to be the 6.1 is the entry level LCD model, which I would presume would be the one being called simply iPhone. And then the 5.8, which is the current size of the iPhone 10, would still be the iPhone 10. And then the 6.5 would be the iPhone 10 Plus. Like, I haven't heard that they're going to change the size of the iPhone 10, and I don't know why you would call the entry-level model the iPhone 10, unless that's because the current model is the iPhone 10, and so that would presume it's not an upgrade. But then to me, just being simply called iPhone and having that as the replacement for the 10 doesn't sound like an upgrade.
Yeah, it's weird.
So the 10 designation, the impression that we were given by Apple is that the 10 designation will be the one that is you know, any given year, from year to year, we'll be experimenting with something. It'll be, you know, right?
So maybe, the Roman numeral 10 is actually shorthand for experiment.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man.
Exactly. And by the way, I see that you didn't find a way to slip underneath my Siri. This joke.
I was going to say, this is devolved into the episode of Apple dad jokes.
Exactly. Congratulations on that. But I don't see. I don't know. From a naming standpoint, seeing these. Okay, let's start from the thing that we can be confident about. Mm-hmm. This is the point in time when leaks like this, product images of products that have been leaked, this is the point in time when they tend to be correct.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So solidification of the rumors, because we start to see component parts because they're starting to be produced.
Right.
Yeah. So
and that's when they leak, because there's too many fingers in the pie. Yep. Right. Too many people have access to it. So and that's why we're seeing it. So I think we can be I'm actually quite satisfied from the standpoint of, yep, OK, those are going to be three of the sizes that we're going to see this fall. That's not necessarily everything, but it's going to be three of the sizes we're going to see. What those devices are going to be called and which one is for which remains to be seen.
Yeah. Yes. You just hit the nail on the head. That's the conclusion you can draw from this leak is, we pretty much have almost confirmation. And I say almost because anything can change up to the last minute, but almost confirmation that this will be the three sizes that we will have. And that's it. That's the end of the rumor.
Yeah, that's the end of what we can conclude from that rumor.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
Yeah. So now I really want to see what features are on each model, because the iPhone X that we have today, that's really pushing outside my envelope for comfortable screen size.
Right.
And I don't want to have a feature limited phone and stick with the same size, but I also really don't have any interest in going up to a 6.1 inch screen size. That's just bigger than what I really want to use, because
you're used to it.
Now, I can't remember. It will be the same physical size roughly as the 8 Plus.
Right. And Brian, you say I'll get used to it.
Yeah, I said I don't want that either. I don't want the 8 Plus in my pocket.
Me neither. iPhone 10. I can't use this as a one-handed phone. And to me, that's always been a key feature that I want in my smartphone. I need to be able to use it one-handed. And I really can't do that with an iPhone X. So,
really?
Yeah, it is so hard for me to use this as a one-handed
device. I have an impression I'd like to do.
Yeah, I should just end the show.
give
your impression, and then I will end the show because we're a couple
of years over. Here's my impression of Jeff complaining about not being able to use his device one-handed. Me.
And that's stunningly accurate, but I also need to point out when an infant is crying, it's yes. because there's some important need that's not being met.
It's a fair point. Also, I am a complete and total jerk. But neither of you are just meeting me, so,
Yeah, there is that. All right. So on that happy note, we're out of time. Brian, thanks so much for being here.
Yeah, really? You sure about that? I mean, you're welcome, but, I'm okay. I'm okay if you're not okay with that.
I have learned from John Martellaro that it's important to be a gentleman.
Oh, yeah. All right. Fair enough.
He's just being our master.
So,
don't get fooled.
Brian, thank you for being here.
Indeed. Thank you for having me.
Adam, I am so glad you're here. You're the best ever. You're just like my best friend, and I love you. And
That's so nice to hear. This all checks out so far.
Thank you.
And Adam, no, I really wasn't using you to slam Brian.
Always a pleasure to be here.
It's great to have you here. And Brian, I really do love you. Listeners, I am so glad that you are here. Thank you for joining us. And I love all of you, too. You are all the best. So thanks for listening. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.